Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me here, as always, is...
It's Sesame, Karachi, and Carta.
Karachi and Carta.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I took on a middle name. Yeah, I think I like it, too. I think it rolls off the tongue pretty good.
Yes, it does.
Sesame, Karachi, and Carta.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be my music name from now on.
I
have like a million
be.
Different music names, but...
They should all be your music names. Whatever you...
That's part of the problem. I have so many names I go off of, and then I upload the same content. That could be one of the reasons why I don't get anywhere, is because I'm creating so much confusion.
Yeah, I mean, Madonna kind of just went by Madonna, and you knew it was her, you know?
Yeah.
So it was easy to just, you know, pinpoint her music. You don't want to be like five different people.
That's the thing, though, is that, like, I always get this idea, like, well, this name sounds cooler than that name, and then I just switch, and I'm like, can never... It is what it is, but, like, because
But if Garth Brooks taught us anything with this Chris Gaines experiment...
Yeah, but he was already famous when he did that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not famous, so it's much more confusing. And then,
but if a famous person can't go by another name and sell records, I don't know.
Exactly.
Because people still buy records.
Well, some people do.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but it's usually people who are collecting, vinyl.
Well, vinyl's really popular now, but I mean. Pretty much everything's on Pandora and Spotify and stuff now. So,
which, you know, the quality sucks on those things so bad. But like Sesame, I can just go by Sesame. Sesame is my music name.
It's like Madonna or Cher.
A bunch of sesame seeds would be on my first like album cover or something like that. And then the second album would be called Encarta, and it's like a picture of like the Encarta.
Oh,
you know.
I thought you could do like 2 all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Yeah, you remember that idea I had with remember when I used to go by Sheldon B. Cyrus as like a fake like alter ego music guy, and that name goes back like 20 years. So like I came up with this whole series of albums that I wanted to do as Sheldon B. Cyrus, as his character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I always use to make kept weird characters because it's fun, and then I make music based off of those characters, which is like an added layer of like becoming insane, because I'm like actually like making real life stuff as part of that character, and then I write stories about that character's life that's going on in their lives that's not even at all what's going on in my life, real life. Anyway, I have 2 characters, you know, the other one I'm not going to mention their name because that one's still secret for the most part, but anyway, although even that barrier is starting to kind of fall down because I'm putting my regular music on there, but anyway, so I had this whole idea of using like phone puns. I have no idea what came up with it. So like I had like an idea called Phone Sex was the one album, another one called Textual Activity, and there was a third one that was like Party Line, you know, like an orgy. Basically, I don't know why I came up with this stuff. There was another one that was a really good pun, but I can't remember, because it was like the phone wife was cheating on the husband, and I don't remember what it was, some word that had to do with phones, but I can't remember what it was, damn it. Anyway, so I was gonna make a whole series of albums based off of that, and you know, the old albums I was going to do when we were making a movie based off the Sheldon B. Cyrus character. No, where were we? I don't even remember. I think we were going to do Doormat.
Yes.
But in the movie, I created a character called Sheldon. So I was like real life and movie life were sort of bleeding into it in that one. But yeah, I had a whole series of albums. What was like, one was like Green Gods, or like, going to New York, like just like leaving, like just up and leaving to New York, and I wrote like a small letter like to New York with love, something. I don't even remember what. You made a bunch of like Photoshop pictures of these album covers. Anyway,
well, anyways,
yeah, we talk about this.
speaking of going places,
yeah, it's a good transition.
this episode saw us traveling to Karachi. Anyways, today we're talking about the episode Seeing Red of Miss Marvel Season 1, Episode 4, directed by Shamin Obaid Chinoy. The teleplay was by Sabir Prezada, A.C. Bradley, and Matthew Chauncey. Initial thoughts here on this episode.
I liked it. You know, I thought it was a good episode. It was fun, action, you know, kind of had a cool, you know, adventure thing going on because she's in like a whole new city she's never been to before. At least I don't think so. I don't know.
No, that was her first time going there. Somebody asks her on the plane.
I know, but she went to pet her grandma's dog and acted like she knew him, so I don't know. And then
probably from maybe pictures
or something. Yeah, okay.
FaceTime and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was a good episode. Interesting to take us to a new location. Kind of sucked because we didn't have any Bruno or much we had a little bit of Nakia voice and stuff, and a little bit of Kamran. Kareem is a new guy, sorry. We had a little bit of him in the episode, but you know, not much of our New Jersey folks. Besides Kamala and her mom. So, you know, we got that going on. I liked it. First time I watched it, I didn't like it actually that much. I rewatched it and I liked it better. It's not that I disliked it. It just wasn't my favorite of the episodes. And I think I was kind of tired when I watched it. So that I'll blame it all on that. So, but when I rewatched it today, I was like really into it. So,
that's good.
Picked up on more things and stuff too. So on the second viewing, and I will say, I mean, I was half asleep when I watched it the first time, so I probably shouldn't have watched it when I did. I should have waited until I woke up. But anyways, we've got an interesting story here. Like I said, we're traveling away from New Jersey. What happens here in this episode?
You know, they're on the plane and, you know, Kamala's basically like essentially grounded, but since, you know, they're going to visit, you know, her grandmother, that, you know, her mom and her basically going to have like a temporary truce because she still thinks that Kamala ruined her brother's wedding, her wedding party afterwards or whatever. They show up at the airport. We got this really cool drum music. I think it's called the doll. It's like a cool hand. It's like a drum that you play with like a stick, like a kind of like, like a hook kind of.
I really do dig the music in this show.
Yeah, the music is just like fantastic. And everyone, you know, her cousins are there waiting for her to pick her up. You know, people she's either met a couple times or at least talked to, you know, a few times.
Yeah.
And then her grandma shows up. They all go home. By the looks of it, it looks like her family in Pakistan's kind of more on the wealthy side. You know, because her grandma literally lives in a gated house.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's a big house, but it needs a paint job and stuff like that. My main feeling about it is it maybe was something that was the family comes from money, but I don't think they're that her nanny is still wealthy at all. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You got that old woman that lives in a really big house in your neighborhood. You know, not all neighborhoods, but you know, like you'll see that in a movie or something like that. I think she's kind of like that almost. You know, that's the way I viewed it.
Yeah, it could be that. Like she's just living there. She inherited the house or paid for or whatever. And then her cousins went to that, like, a boat party, though, so they might be wealthy because they're kind of on the more rich side of things, it looks like, too, though, so I don't know. And then, who knows, maybe the bangle also had other abilities that like maybe made you like lucky, you know, things of that nature. We don't really know how it was used. And then they go home, they pet the really cool. He's kind of like a fat golden retriever. He might need to be on a diet, but he just looks a little bit too big. Dog needs to be, you know, a little bit healthier. Anyway, or maybe he was a female. Maybe she's pregnant. I don't know. But anyway, her grandmother, her nani, or is it her nani? Yeah, her nani. she tells Kamala her room's on the right, and then she doesn't. She like goes to the wrong door or whatever, and then it's like her grandmother's like artistic room. Like she's got, you know, a bunch of paints, brushes and pictures she's drawn and painted and things like that. And, you know, a lot of them look really good. And then, so that must be what her mom talked about, how she was a daydreamer, maybe just because she liked being an artist. Like that's a terrible thing, apparently, according to her mom. But anyway, like, how dare you do anything creative? It's terrible. But anyway, so like, and she painted the picture of her mother, you know, from what she remembers, you know, what she looked like. It seemed pretty accurate.
It looked like Aisha. Yeah.
It really did. Yeah, it was pretty accurate. Maybe she had, like, visions of her and dreams of her, too, or something that helped her remember what she looked like. Because she was just, like 3 or 4 years old at the time when, when, and then so, like, she, you know, her nani, you know, comes in the room and is just kind of smiling at her and stuff. And, Kamala drops, you know, the bomb and basically saying like, hey, you know, this amulet, you know, does that mean like, you know, I'm a djinn? And then she's like, yeah, of course. And then she's like, how could you be so casual about this?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just genetics. Who cares? Like, she just doesn't like, it's not even like a bombshell to her. It's just like, you know,
it's like, who cares? It's like saying, oh, you're from, you know, Kentucky, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like where you come
literally
from.
Just like it was nothing. Yeah, it was like nothing. Like it was just like like talking about ordering lunch, like, and she's like, you're focusing on the wrong things, like, you know, who cares about the djinn stuff? That's not really the important you know thing. That's, you know, and you know how they both saw the train together in that vision you know, when they were fighting, you know, her and Najma,
I mean, and Anani had like paintings of like the partition and stuff like that too that she did.
And she also had a painting that looked kind of like the other dimension that Kamala got.
It almost looked like it was the partition, but the people in it looked like aliens almost.
So I wonder, if that was like some sort of weird like upside down type of like.
Because it was almost like that part where in the first episode when Kamala first has kind of her first vision. It almost looked like that, like when she's at the Avengers Con, and she has that thing where she kind of falls, and she, it almost looks like that, like shadows and different people, you know?
Yeah, and their eyes were kind of like glowing and stuff like that, and and I liked how she fell down, and it literally looked like she like did like an upside down where she like literally like went.
Yeah.
And then when she got back to our world, it was like she literally went like in a circle almost. Like, it's kind of interesting, cool. And then, you know, so they had this conversation, and, you know, she's just like, just trying to like, you know, encourage Kamala to like, you know, figure out what the, you know, what the amulet's, you know, trying to tell her and, you know, kind of like find her way type of thing, you know, that whole thing. And then she, you know, she goes to sleep, and then her mom wakes her up scolding her as usual.
Yeah,
her mom, man, like she needs to see a therapist or something like that to stop projecting her own shit from her own mother onto her daughter, because she's kind of being a bad mother in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
I figured out who she reminds me of. My late Aunt Frida.
Oh wow.
Was like that with my grandma.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because my grandma, especially my grandma, was like a pack rat.
And
deserved to be, I mean, sometimes deserved to, like, be told, you know, don't keep all this shit. My Aunt Frida was pretty controlling, but I started to realize, because she was the oldest daughter in the family, and she kind of had to help raise, because my grandma had 7 kids. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So she kind of had a lot of burden put on her younger. And so, like, after, I didn't realize and think about all this stuff until after my aunt passed away.
Okay.
So it kind of gave me a little bit more sympathy towards her. And I think that's what I'm feeling here with Maniba. You know, it's just kind of like she's got a lot of, you know, weight on her life, and she kind of had to, she was kind of rebellious, we find out too. And it was more like, I think that the idea that she ended up having to get to the point where she was trying to raise her own mother too, because her mom was full of, you know, flights of fancy and stuff, you know.
These crazy ideas that are totally true.
exactly. But that's how she saw it, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, they go, she wakes her up and she's like, you know, you got to go with your cousins. You know, we came here to visit, so you need to actually visit. So get up and go with them to the boat party or whatever. And then apparently they have a rule there where you can't, where women can't wear jeans.
Or I think it was a restaurant, not a boat party necessarily.
Oh, well, it was
like on a dock, I think. I didn't think it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't a boat, it was a patio.
And I don't know if it was a rule that only applied to girls or women, but I do know in some places in Pakistan where more conservative people don't think that girls or women should wear jeans because it accentuates their form or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of places women can't wear slacks in general. Yeah.
So I don't know if it was that, if it was just like a regular rule of the, you know, restaurant or whatever type of thing. But they kind of trick her with some spicy food because they're like kind of like her cousin's sort of like being kind of mean to her.
Yeah.
Because she's not really from there, you know, type of thing. So they're like kind of teasing her, but kind of serious teasing at the same time. Like, it's not just for fun. It's like they really don't like her because they're like, they literally like, she wanted to go see like the train station. You know, and she said, oh, because, you know, history or whatever. And then her other cousin, she's like, okay, well, we're going, so try not to get lost. And it's just like, wow, that's nice. Like,
yeah, and
like,
they kind of refer to her and other people of her like as what they call ABCD.
Yeah.
Which is an American-born confused Desi. So
yeah, it's like, okay, well, I like to see you two move to America for the first time and not have culture shock, you pieces of shit. But like, anyway,
well, we have enough people here in America that would probably treat them like that. And
well, then maybe they would learn a lesson or two, not exactly. Be so arrogant. So I'm just saying. So maybe, you know, they should count their lucky fucking stars. But anyway, so that happens, and then she asks like some dude, like, you know, it's a bunch of street vendors trying to get her money because they know she's American, or at least can suspect that she is, you know. So they're like, you know, wanting her to buy all their wares and shit like that. And
one guy takes a Polaroid sort of thing, an instant photo of some sort,
and like, oh, pay. And, you know, it's like, I hate it when people do that, though. I mean, it's like, I understand they're trying to make a living, but I hate it like when someone already performs a service on your behalf and then like tries to guilt you into paying for them. Like, I didn't even ask for this. Like, I mean,
it's my thing with it. It's like, I've had people do that like on the street. They'll make like some kind of art and hand it to me, and they'll be like, hey, you know, can you give me some money for this? And I'm like, I'll buy you some food. But to the
so it's like, I know like the guy's probably not rolling in the big bucks, so he's probably just doing that out of desperation or whatever.
My thing, though, is like, how many people tell him no and then he's wasted all these Polaroids?
Exactly. Well, he might only do it for people he suspects might not be from there. Because I think when you're in a big city for a long time, I think you can sort of just tell just by how someone's walking and how like they're maybe looking around a whole bunch that like they know they're not really from there. You know, you sort of just like develop kind of like a sixth sense about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, I know a small tangent here. Don't worry, it's not going to be super long. But so my first time I ever went to Chicago ever, literally as soon as I started walking on the sidewalk, I made one wrong turn. And like, that was enough for someone to mark me immediately.
Yeah.
And like, went into this whole story about how they got a flat tire, and then they wanted to buy like this weird like adhesive spray shit that's supposed to like, you know, keep your tire working until you can take it to like Midas or whatever you need to or whatever. And then he's like, yeah, there's an ATM machine over there or whatever. And like, I looked over there, there's literally no ATM machine. It was just an alleyway. So I'm like, oh, so the ATM machine is me. And the alleyway is the part where you could like pull a knife on me, I guess, or whatever, and steal my money or whatever. I'm like, nope. Like, and then he walked off in a huff, like, oh, whatever. It's like, okay, like go rob someone else or con someone else or whatever. You know, so it's, I think that, like, you know, especially in big cities.
And then that died. That guy died like 5 minutes later because you didn't help him. Oh wait, I'm joking.
It could have been, you know, whatever. Right? I mean, that's on my conscience, right? You know, that's he needed to get to the hospital because his wife was giving birth to twins or triplets or whatever, quadruplets, and the car broke down, and you know they can't afford an ambulance because they're.
It's like when I was working in retail, we'd have people come in. We'd have people come into the store sometimes and be like, I need this money because my daughter's giving birth in Cleveland and I need the bus money to get there to be there for my my daughter and my granddaughter's birth and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, sorry, dude, I can't help you. You know, I'm sorry.
It's like I work at freaking Walmart, dude. You think I can, like, you know, shell out cash to fund your obviously bullshit story? That's the other thing too. It's like, you know, a lot of these people use the same stories. Like, is there like a script that they're given or used, or they just learn from other people who taught them that, so they just repeat, like,
what some was of these people are pimped out like prostitutes and they have scripts.
I wonder sometimes.
Well,
I really
they
do.
They are. There's actually. It's been
pretty. Oh, okay.
So yeah. So, but anyways, back to the show though. She asks. She asks this guy for directions, and to the train station, and he kind of gives them to her, like, in a weird way. Like, you know, you turn right and the left and right, and then there's like a goat.
A little bit right. Yeah. A little bit right. Yeah. Just a little, like a slight right turn. Then you got to follow a donkey cart, and you know.
What the hell?
And she's like. She's like, okay. He's like, are you getting this? And she's like, yeah.
it reminds me of the people I would know that would, you know, tell you how to get places in town. And they'd be like, okay, so you go down this street here until you hit a McDonald's. And then you turn left. And then you get to another McDonald's. And then you
just like. What the hell, dude? Like, it's like, I like how you're just using McDonald's as landmarks.
Yeah.
For, like, how they travel somewhere. It's so sad. It's like. You know, because there's so many McDonald's, right? So you can totally do that. And then, or like a Subway even, you know, so many Subways.
There's more of those. Yeah, but it would be like that. It'd be like, you know, they'd basically just tell you where fast food restaurants are, and that'd be how you get somewhere. I'm just like, okay, wait, is that the second Wendy's I passed? Wait, I'm confused. No, I'm
confused. That's the state we're in our civilization now. Is where, like, instead of like in the woods where you used to make like your own like markings, now it's fast food restaurants.
You're going to pass three Burger Kings, and when you get to the third Burger King, you make a left. No, wait.
Unless you want to stop into Burger King to get like a sandwich or something, and then you know, go right, and then you go straight out of there if you get your
if you've gone to the Taco sandwich, Bell, you've gone too far. Wait.
Yeah, it's not the train tracks, it's the Taco Bell. Oh, it might be like diarrhea tracks, but like anyway. Sorry. That was sick. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
She goes to the she makes it to the train station that she wanted to, you know, go to, the one that's, you know, possibly in her dreams and stuff, you know, so in her visions. So what happens there?
Well, she reads this cool quote on the wall saying something like, you know, even small things can turn out to be great or something like that. And there's like a picture of Ant-Man, it looks like, or something on it, I think. So there's like an Ant-Man reference. And she already mentioned how she kind of likes Ant-Man, like thinks he's cool and stuff like that.
And she listens to his podcast. So,
Scott Lane's podcast where he basically is like, giving all the secrets about what happened, like with the Avengers, I guess, or something. So that's how everyone knows about stuff. Like when Doctor Strange Part 2 came out, where, you know, that guy, everyone seemed to know about that he was the one that gave Thanos the time stone. And so it could have been Scott Lang just telling everyone all this stuff.
That sounds like something Scott Lang would do, or.
It does,
Or he has his one buddy come on there and tell everything, that guy that tells all the stories in the Ant-Man movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like it probably is like his co-host or something like that. So there's like And there was like something underneath that quote too that like was like in, written in Urdu, I think, that meant something different, but it was kind of like, I think it literally said something about like an ant, like in the actual quote itself, like not the English, but I think in the Urdu, I think it said something about like an ant becoming strong. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah. So I wonder if it's going to be like, if we're going to get in these like Ant-Man references, maybe, excuse me, if these are meant to like sort of be like nods to like the Quantum Mania movie coming out, because we're talking about different dimensions and things like that. I don't know. I'm wondering, you know, because the quantum realm is kind of, kind of reminds me of like the Nor dimension a little bit, or where like Kane the Conqueror has his like his whole citadel, at least in the comic books, he's got his whole like citadel or city like actually existing in the quantum realm. So there's a lot of weird shit that we don't know about yet about other dimensions. So
maybe we're all waiting for a Brie Larson Captain Marvel appearance in the show, but we might get
I hope so.
But maybe instead of that, we'll get a Scott Lang, you know, appearance or something.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool, too. It could be either or both, even. Or Shang-Chi, even, because the Ten Rings seem like they might be part of this, because they were all standing on the Ten Rings when they were looking for the second bangle. And, you know, it wouldn't put it past me for Wenwu to kind of send them on that journey, you know, either to collect the bangle for him, or maybe he was the one that caused the thing to crumble because he didn't want any competing power, essentially. Like you know, maybe he couldn't use the bangle and the Ten Rings at the same time, so he didn't want someone else having a super powerful artifact. It's just a theory. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, by the way, I kind of stole that from Screen Crush, so I don't want to act like I came up with that on my own. Okay. But, like, you know, I like to give credit when I say something, you know, like it's... You know,
so
that's how I roll, you know.
Anyways, back to the show, we end up meeting somebody at the train station. This is where we meet Kareem.
It's an interesting meeting.
Yeah.
It's like a meet cute, not really, but
it's a meet fight.
A meet fight, yes. Because there's knives involved and
like most meet cutes. There's always knives involved, right?
It might maybe more like a meat cube, because you might end up stabbing her and then create tiny piece of meat, you know.
It's how, like, you know, Ted Bundy met all of... Oh, wait, sorry. The...
yeah.
So...
Ted Bundy was a great guy, man. He was so charismatic and...
He killed women.
Yeah.
Evil piece of shit. Anyway, so
But this guy is no Ted Bundy though.
No, not at all. He's a good guy actually. We find out they have like this little fight and he says something to her about her being from America, and she's like, "How do you know I'm not Canadian?" Which is an in joke because the actress who plays Miss Marvel is Canadian, so
that's cute.
Yeah. But they have this nice little meet, and he says to her, it was cute at the end where he says there's like a little bit of noise going on, he's like, "Come with me if you want to live." like you know, the Terminator. And and then you know, he says, "I just always wanted to say that." So they go, and then they end up meeting. We find out that he's a member of this group called the Red. He's a member of this group called the Red Daggers. And we meet Waleed, who's played by Bollywood star Farhan Akhtar. He's like the leader of these Red Dagger people, who are not a boy band.
No, they are not. No,
no.
It'd be cool if they were, but they're not.
But anyways, he explains that these people that the class clandestines and people like that are being referred to as the Djinn are actually from another realm that is connected to our Earth, but is hidden beneath the veil of the Noor. So I'm confused by this. So is it part of our Earth, or is it another dimension or another timeline? It's really confusing.
It's like another, I think it's like another dimension that just lives like within the way he said side by side, which
yeah, so it's like it coexists. It's just kind of weird to me. But
To say side by side implies that there's like two material universes that live next to each other, which that doesn't seem like a good explanation. But maybe that's all they were able to find, because they're kind of like a human based, secret society. And again, can I say this?
Yeah.
I like the episode. I'm kind of over the whole secret society stuff. Like, a secret organization that hunts these people. I don't know. Like, I wasn't a big fan of that. I'm just saying.
It was their way of introducing the character, because, like, in the comics, there was a character called the Red Dagger. There isn't a group of people. But I think they decided, we're going to make them a group. Kind of like they did in Falcon and Winter Soldier. What was the girl's name? But anyways, that was just supposed to be one character, but they ended up making it like this terrorist organization, So.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah, they're trying to, like, get her to learn her powers and stuff, which is weird, because I thought they were, like, trying to kill the clandestines, but then she is one, but they don't want to kill her.
Well, she isn't really one. The clandestines are this specific group of people. And what he's trying to explain, too, is he does explain the fact that Jin is just the name that they called these type of people that, like Thor would have been called a Jin if he had landed in the Himalayas instead of where he landed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like just people with, mystical or magical or superpowers are basically called Jin. Which brings up the fact that those, that clickbait article where people were trying to say that, it's stupid that they're using Jin so, flagrantly or whatever, it's just stupid. But
they weren't real Jin, yeah. And plus their MCU Jin, which is not the same Jin as and plus too, I always go back to what I said last week, where it's like, why are you complaining about this? One thing, it's MCU, so we're not even talking about our real world here. And secondly, according to the both pre-Islamic and Islamic folklore, jinn are neutral spiritual beings that can either be good or bad or something in between. And so they're not like demons like in Christology or whatever you call it. And like I said before, it's either in the Quran or it's in Islamic tradition or both. It's been a while since I've read it, where it says that a group of jinn were so inspired by one of Muhammad's sermons or prayer session that they actually just converted to Islam on the spot and just started praying alongside the humans. Of course, the humans couldn't see them because they're unseen creatures, but they were technically joined the religion and the prayer gathering, and we're just praying with other Muslims, human Muslims and jinn Muslims. So it's like, I know people don't like logic anymore in this world, or if they ever did, I don't know. It seems like maybe they never did.
I think the freaking article that we were talking about, and I think that whole thing was just a freaking clickbait bullshit.
Anyway, the thing is, though, I know I've talked to enough Muslims to know that there are some Muslims who would actually.
Yeah, I'm sure there. The thing is, what it ends up being is that it's a small group of people that feel a certain way, and then then of course somebody will write an article and be like, people feel this way, and you're just like,
right, or so and so is revealing their bikini bod or whatever,
a lot of times the clickbait is like, Star Wars fans are upset about this, and then you read the article, right. And it's like, it was like some dude in his basement who was upset about something, and so now he represents all Star Wars fans, so it's just the way it is.
And it's from a story. And it's from a story from like 6 months ago that just revamping up, wait a minute, I thought the controversy was over already, we need to bring it back anyway. But the clandestine, but they trusted Aisha though, you know, she was a clandestine, so
yeah, I mean, she was, you know, and but what I'm saying with Kamala, she's like part probably clandestine or whatever you want to call her. She's
yeah,
but she's, you know, like a fourth or whatever, if anything, or a
well,
third.
Yeah, because you got
yeah, or not a third, yeah, but right. Like a, you know, whatever it is.
I'm it would be a third, yeah, yeah, because you got Aisha, so then they had Nani. I forgot her, Sana, and then so that would be she'd be half, and then Muniba would be
a quarter.
Then there would be Kamala would be the quarter, wouldn't it? Because it would be three, one, two,
whatever it is. She's part. She's still whatever. Part human. So whatever it is, she's human on her dad's side. So
mostly, yeah, and then yeah. And
so
anyway, yeah, they're testing her powers and shit like that.
But also, I think she's kind of like almost like a she's of course our female like chosen one in a way too. You know, she's our, I don't know, I for lack of a better word, a messiah sort of character. You know, when it comes to this, you know, power, or like, you know, she's our Buffy the Vampire Slayer sort of thing. You know, she's the one. So.
Yeah, or the Luke Skywalker, because yeah, because later on, mm-hmm. her mentor 2 minutes gets killed, just like how
she's our Frodo Baggins here.
yeah,
the we basically, you know, find out a little bit more about that, and the thing is, like, he shows her this picture on this like thing that comes out of the ground in their place, this like holographic picture almost or whatever, and it was just interesting to me that like whatever this other realm is, I couldn't tell if those were supposed to be buildings or what, but they kind of just looked like tentacles or something, you know?
Yeah, it
like didn't look, yeah, like it was anywhere people could actually live. So I was confused.
Yeah, exactly. It looked like it's like a weird city with like just mountains or just,
yeah, I mean, it just looked, yeah, it just like random. I mean, I'm not trying to be too critical here, but it's just like somebody at Marvel is like, oh, we need some kind of like random spacey looking shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, it did look kind of like that.
yeah.
And then what else happened? That she goes, she has dinner with like these people, like at like a cool beach area, you know.
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
some of her friends. Yeah,
and then she ends up eating something that she really likes. She's worried that it's going to be spicy because of what happened earlier to her at the boat restaurant or whatever.
Yeah, just spicy snack kind of food.
Yeah.
That, apparently it's supposed to be really, really good, but it was too spicy for her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no.
It's like, oh, well, she doesn't like spicy food. Who cares? So
maybe she's not used to it. Yeah. What's interesting, another thing. So, like, you know, her mom came from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. So, theoretically, she knows how to make Pakistani food. But yet, when she makes it at home, it wasn't as spicy. So, I wonder if that was, like, another subtle way of her trying to sort of distance herself a little bit from, yeah, her roots, kind of like, I mean, maybe I'm looking into it a little bit much, but yeah, I just wonder, because she seems kind of like she wants to get away from all that, kind of like literally, because she moves
kind of like almost like blending in more in America and trying to yeah, but
right,
the
because Kamala, yeah, may have had that at home but not, mm-hmm, that spicy, you know.
Yeah. So we have this, you know, scene at the beach where they're hanging out, and you know, we learn a little bit more, and then we have like a what happens next. We have we do have a scene where we find out at the DODC Supermax prison, Najma and the rest of the clandestines escape, and they and she says to leave Cameron behind. Because he made his choice. So.
Yeah, because he dared to, you know, not allow the world to completely become destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my God, so I'm so sorry, Mom, that I didn't allow billions of people to die. I know I'm such a terrible person. What's with, like, these weird people in these shows where they're, like, they get mad at someone for actively not trying to kill people?
Oh, I know.
It's just weird. It's just bizarre. It's like you've lived here for 100 years. You think at this point, maybe you just get used to it, make this your home. I mean, there's cool stuff here. I mean, like, it might not be as cool as the Noor Dimension, which again doesn't really look like it's that great, to be honest. I mean,
exactly.
It's like really, it's like dark and stuff, and people's eyes are glowing. Doesn't really seem like that fun, but whatever.
And
so, maybe they like it.
And
I guess.
Somebody just, you know, took a paintbrush and made some slashes on the screen, and that's what we got as the description of their land.
Yeah, I mean, so apparently that's so great, though. They need to go back to that after being.
Yeah.
I still want to know why they got banished, though. I have a feeling Najma did something really bad, and then they kicked out the whole group, because why would you get kicked out, you know, unless you did something bad, or, you know, were you the good guys within the Noor Dimension? You weren't bad enough for everyone else, but then by that logic, why would you then want to go back to that place and be willing to kill the world to get there, because then that would make you bad by trying to get the bad guys? It just seemed weird.
It's like, I don't know.
Who knows?
Is it the criminals returning to the scene of the crime sort of thing? I don't know. But,
maybe it's a Magneto situation where it's like, I'm going to rule everyone else because I was persecuted, so now I need to rule everyone. And then, who knows? We'll find out probably by the last episode of what Najma's whole deal is. But
Hopefully.
Maybe Aisha will show up, and she'll, like, maybe she's been hiding this whole time, and she'll come and help, you know, her granddaughter, her great granddaughter, fight off the rest of the clandestines. Or mm-hmm. That would be kind of cool, actually, if that were to happen. But she does talk to her grandmother one more time in the episode when she's looking over a bunch of cool kites that are flying around.
Yeah,
and then she's just kind of like, you know, continuing her like encouragement, I guess.
And her grandmother tells her that even at her age, she's still trying to figure out who she is.
Right, yeah, she's like, whatever, I don't really know, but it's fine. And then like, her grandmother was so like just like nonchalant about every, like, just like the most mind-blowing information you could ever find, like, and she's like, oh yeah, Jinn are real, and you know, we're kind of part of them, whatever.
I do like how she says that people are claiming their identity based on an idea some old Englishmen had when they were fleeing the country. How is one to deal with that, you know? So it's a good thing. I mean, do you want to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the episode?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explore any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are back. Back. Back.
Back in black. No.
It's a fact.
Back in black. Back in black. Hit the sack.
So.
Sorry.
So before I blow my brains out, I'm joking. So we do have another scene there too, where Muniba has a frank conversation with her mother, mm-hmm. explaining to her why she went to America and did not remain in Karachi. She said she needed a change from being shunned by the neighbors because of her crazy mother and her wild theories. Yeah, so that kind of explains a little bit more of why Muniba is so, like, strict when it comes to Kamala. And so, because she grew up with a mother who basically was her daughter, you know? So was acting just like her. They're very similar people.
I know. Like, how dare, you know, a woman, you know, have dreams and have a personality. Yeah. And,
well, it's more the thing, I mean, the thing I'm learning from it is the fact that she was treated badly by people because of her mother. And so it kind of explains things, and I mean, I know that it's not the right thing to do, but it does at least explain why she moved all the way to America to escape Karachi, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's just and maturity, in my view. But
yeah, well, that's the thing. It is. And, you know, I don't think she did it as, like, anything malicious necessarily, you know? But,
Oh, I don't think so either. But it's like, you know, a brother or sibling who's autistic or whatever, and people make fun of that because of that, so you're going to hate your autistic sibling because...
No, I know.
If you do, then that kind of speaks to your personality a little bit, I'm just saying.
Oh, it does, and I'm not defending her, but I'm at least explaining and understand her character.
Yeah,
and
totally.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, people are layered, and... They're not so black and white, and we did it. It gave me a little bit more sympathy and understanding for her in certain ways because it's unfortunate that she did it, but she didn't ever stop loving her mother either, though. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So that's the good part.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So because that's the way I kind of feel about my Aunt Frida. I guess I'm just like placing that on her. So. She never stopped loving my grandma.
Right.
We have this we have this whole scene where we've got like a whole like action sequence finally in this episode. Not finally, but, you know, a really cool, like, chase in the streets where, you know, where Kamala can use her powers and stuff like that. And it's her and Waleed and Kareem being chased by the clandestines who, this is the funny thing I found online. Somebody was being, it's like, I don't think I can believe the show anymore because it seems like the clandestines were able to get to Karachi in, like, hours.
Well, so were they able to?
Yeah. And, so my response to this person is, like, you're fine with the superpowers.
Right.
But you draw the line at travel.
It's like... Yeah, exactly. You're fighting with superpowers and, you know, a Nord dimension and djinn and amulets that have, like, magical powers.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. But, like, how do they get to Karachi? I mean, really? Like, I don't know. Maybe they hailed a plane. Maybe they got their own personal pilot or something.
You know, we don't know the extent of their powers either, so who knows? Maybe they can...
They could have just, like, manifested themselves.
Maybe they can teleport. Who knows? I don't know.
Or, again, think about it. They've been around here for about 100 years or so.
Yeah. They're
probably all quite wealthy, because they probably figured out how to start businesses and make money. And
there's a good chance one of them's a pilot.
Or knows a pilot who can hire. Like, yeah, I mean, there's something... Yeah, you don't need, like, to know, like, I mean, come on, like, a Black Widow, you know, she's got, like, a guy who basically, like, does, like, illegal things or, like, acquires helicopters.
And it's funny, it's like, somebody says, man, I'm waiting for that episode where we just see them traveling for 15 hours to Karachi.
Yeah, just to make it more realistic. I mean, he's like, what the hell? And then, I know, I swear to God, these people, like, they'll literally just find anything to complain. I remember, too. When that one guy who I'm not gonna say his name because it's like a stupid fucking ass. But anyway, where he's like talked about like Captain Marvel, like I don't understand like how her uniform could just like change colors like if some Barbie doll or something like that, like just like going all in on
that
how you know Carol Danvers dressed, and then like it's like the movie's so unrealistic, and it's like okay, like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, people will nitpick about anything, honestly. So,
I love it when men who pretend to be feminists, but they're really not, and they criticize women, but they criticize them under the lens that, like, they're not being feminist enough because they, like, have, like, a more feminine personality or they express themselves in clothing-wise in a more feminine way. But it's really just a cover for them to just control women, but they're doing it under the guise of feminism, which is like an extra layer of just like being really like manipulative. I like that. That's what that guy was doing, by the way. Again, I'm not going to say his name, but it's really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he's got dumb hair, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so
sorry, that was a tangent. I was trying to put a lid on the mean streak that I got going on, but I think I've done okay this time.
Maybe good. I'm not worried about that. I was just trying to remember what else happens in this episode. So, okay, oh yeah, we do have...
We have a fight scene with the cool chase and the fight scene.
Yeah. Cool. We have this big fight scene, and unfortunately in the fight scene, Waleed is apparently murdered.
Her Obi-Wan Kenobi died, you know, after 2 days of, or whatever, of mentorship or whatever.
Yeah, I guess he's... he does something else. I'll have to look him up, that actor. He does something else on the show, too. Like, he's some kind of behind-the-scenes person, too, on the show. I don't know if he's, like, a fight choreographer or what he is. But anyways, I'll look that up here.
Cool.
Yeah, the whole... We get that she basically has this happen, and during this thing, Waleed is killed. He actually killed one of the clandestines before that happened, though. He ended up getting fatally stabbed by Najma. And then Kamala and Kareem are fending off the rest of the clandestines and whatnot, and Kareem kills one of them as well, so we're down to clandestines. And then Najma accidentally stabs the Bengal, and then Kamala goes into one of her visions, but it's very realistic, and she seems to have somehow been transported back in time to the partition.
Yeah, like the night, the night where, you know, her grandmother was, you know, transported. Yeah, it looks like she's actually back in time for
real. Yeah, me too. Like, I think she's somehow time traveling or something. Or is at least able to, like, interact with it and observe it or something, in a way. So.
It's like a vision, because if you notice, I watched it twice, and you notice at one point when she's about to climb on top of the train, And she walks in front of some guy, and then he stops. Usually when you have these visions, like in Harry Potter, where he's looking through, like, the pensive, like, nobody's interacting with him. Like, he just sees what already happened. So, like, if someone's walking towards you, they'll just literally walk through you.
Oh, because
you're not really in the moment. You're looking at a memory. But this guy literally stopped in front of her. So, to me, I don't know if that's, like, a hint, maybe, that she's actually there. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because, like, I just recently watched something, I don't even remember what it was, where somebody was inside of a memory and people were walking right through him. So, you know. Anyways, where do you think the next week we're going to spend a lot of time in the partition era? Or do you think we're going to come back to present?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, like, if she actually is, you know, back, you know, in the past, it might be her trying to, you know, find her way back to the present, or maybe just try to figure out maybe where Aisha went, or, you know, and then, you know, again, I'm giving credit to Screen Crush or Ryan Airy, because I got him. It's not the original idea. I got it from him, but, like, so I want to make sure I give credit. But he had a video recently where he speculates that maybe it's like this weird time loop kind of thing going on, where maybe she was the one that actually, like, guided her grandmother
with the trail of stuff. I actually thought that before I ever heard anybody say that, and I heard it on a podcast as well. I don't even remember which one, but I don't listen to many, you know, before we record, so it's probably the slash film one that I listened to, and I think they might have speculated that too. So, because I don't think I listened to Ryan Airy this week, so
well, that could be interesting, you know, if that was the case, that she, so then it be, but then it becomes that whole time loop thing where she went to the past, but then since that was already going to happen anyway,
and therefore, it's a time loop,
not really time travel if it was supposed to happen, type of thing, you know? Like, it's just a weird concept, but, you know, like, like the, that's like the MCU version of time travel, because
it's the MCU version of Marty McFly going back in time and then creating rock and roll. Not really creating it, but you know, I'm creating the whole Johnny B. Goode thing. No, so
that would sound like a whole other dark meaning though to it though.
Yeah, it does.
It's a great movie, but the idea.
But it's kind of like a white dude created Johnny B. Goode.
Exactly. It's like, oh, it's actually a white guy who created rock and roll. I mean, I know it was meant to be like this fun little thing, but it's like, wow. Yeah. Like watching that later on, it's just like, man, like that.
Yeah, was I mean, totally it's not cool. You know. I don't think they were thinking about that at all when they did that, you know.
No, they weren't. No. That's the thing. It was like, but like, man. but Bruno, he dresses like Marty McFly, so that's interesting. So maybe.
Yeah. My theory is what's going to happen next week is Doc Brown's going to show up with a DeLorean during the partition. And it's not even going to be a DeLorean. It's going to be that train from the end of Back to the Future 3. It'll end up right on the tracks behind the trains that all the people are on. And he's going to look at Kamala and be like, I'm here to save you. And then and then again, nobody's going to question why this old dude's hanging out with teenagers. And
and exactly, and why he said teenager is wearing like totally modern clothing, like
yeah,
with like New Jersey logo and stuff like that, and
yeah,
yeah. Unless you find some, you know, Pakistani guy or whoever who like is up on like, you know, American geography, it's like, oh yeah, I know New Jersey, you know.
Yeah, or it's like you know, when that's the other thing too, or she's wearing pink Chuck Taylor Converse shoes too, so it's like. I think they had Chuck Taylors around that time, but they probably weren't popular in India and Pakistan, and I don't think they were pink.
No, they weren't, probably not. No. If anything, since like Bruno already did dress like Marty McFly, maybe it'll have like a sort of Back to the Future type of episode.
Feel to it, yeah.
A strange girl, like where are your parents, you know, like,
yeah,
like, you know, saying like you just seem different, like, you know.
Yeah. Interesting thing to point out about this episode that we watched is because of political things, they couldn't film in Pakistan. They filmed actually in Bangkok, Thailand.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and they, you know, made it look as much like Karachi as they could. And, you know, probably, yeah, they probably also filmed some of it on set in Georgia where they are filming most of the series because, you know,
yeah,
you can't film anything where it actually takes place. Can't even film in Jersey somehow.
I figure that the Pakistani government wouldn't allow it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
they did send people there to get B-roll, I guess, you know, but they weren't going to let them film like a whole, you know, they probably snuck that too, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, because Pakistan's kind of like a, well, we're kind of heading towards Pakistan and the type of theocracy that they've got, because Pakistan not really a full-on theocracy like you would have like in Iran or Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's more like Pakistan's kind of got like a half theocracy, half republic kind of intermixing with each other.
Yeah.
So like the Quran and like Islamic Sharia is sort of like the sort of like bedrock of their constitution, but it's not like the constitution itself. Whereas like in Iran, Saudi Arabia, it's like that is like the constitution essentially, or at least their interpretation of it, you know, which is always the most conservative, coincidentally. Anyway, and
so are you trying to say they're part of the Stone Age with Fred Flintstone by the bedrock aspect? I'm joking.
Yeah,
sorry, no.
Yeah, he was an Ayatollah, yeah. And we call him, you know, Farid, you know, Flint, I don't know, whatever.
But you know, humans lived at the same time as dinosaurs, according to the Creation Museum in Kentucky or something. So
I've got a cousin who goes to that place like every couple of years.
My My sister and her kids went there recently, and it was so much for me not to say anything.
Oh, I know. Well, in my case, too, my cousin's not even super, I mean, she's Catholic, but she's like a liberal Catholic, but she's like, you know, she's not like politically conservative at all, but like she loves going, and she's been this place like 15 times or something like throughout her life. Like, why do you love this place? Like, this totally goes against your values. That, I mean, like, it's totally like this was created by like a right-wing evangelical dude. Like,
oh yeah. Like, but it turns out most of the reason that he created it was just to make money anyway, so he doesn't necessarily believe in anything.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, but...
But anyway...
But we're way off topic here, so... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was saying that Pakistan, I'm not surprised that Pakistan wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking about jinn and, you know, all these blasphemous ideas, and plus two, it's a girl without a hijab, like, what? You know, type of thing, so... Like,
yeah. We'll see what happens. You know,
if
we even stay there that long, who knows how long it'll be. I mean, it could be
a
fake out. Hopefully not, you know, but we'll see. But I do want to get back to Jersey, and I hope we do soon. So, because I miss Bruno and Nakia. So I'm like,
I hear you. I hope it's not going to be a midnight situation where four of the episodes are going to take place in one city other than what it started out as.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
So we'll see what happens, and hopefully they don't do that. Any other final thoughts here before we wrap things up?
Not much. Just an apology if I offended anyone. It's not my intention. It's just I get on these things sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget that, oh, you know, maybe people don't like that. Sorry. That
Matt, you totally offended me. And
I mean, our answer listeners, especially if they're from like a Muslim background, because you know, I'm not speaking from an angle of prejudice. I'm speaking for someone who actually spent quite a lot of time in the Muslim community when I was in my youth. So you know, I'm not speaking to some like American, you know, type of person. It's more of like I've had actual conversations with people who would say these exact type of things and complain. So it's not like I'm just making.
I don't think anything you said is can be construed as offensive, anyway. So
I'm just making sure, just conscientious. That's how I am, you know.
And
anyway, that's all.
And if you have any thoughts on this episode or any other ones, you can find all of our stuff at alltoreal2.com. You can also message me directly at mike@cullenpark.com. If I get your message, I might read it in a future episode. You know, if you like hearing your thoughts and voice on things, you know, let us know. And I mean, if you're cool enough, maybe you'll be on a future show. Who knows? Help support the show. I know this is the celebration of America this weekend or something. I think America just really needs help. And it's okay to be critical of the country you live in. It's not against being American by being critical of it.
Or, you know, maybe America does need to get fucked. Maybe it just needs to get laid. It's very, very uptight, you know. So
it does.
America's act like a bunch of incels right now, basically, you know, so incelica, I don't know. incelica, I don't know.
We'll workshop it later.
it reminds me of one last thing. So one time I had a dream once that was a weird, weird, like fever dream, basically. And then it was like about this, this dude who was like a substitute teacher who like basically like the students were just like acting out, like the school couldn't control them, so like they're like, we need like our ace in the hole type of guy who's gonna like, you know, he's like a alternative dude, and he's gonna like work his magic or whatever to like get the kids to, you know, get good grades or whatever. So like he like basically like decides to create like this weird like golfing academy within the school itself, and like they go like on this weird like camping trip where they're supposed to be golfing at the same time in the woods. Not sure how that works out. And anyway, they're like he's like talking to one of the students who's kind of like the nerd of the class or whatever, and then like he they're talking about incels for some reason. I have no idea why. And then like the kid, like he goes like, are you sure that you know, you're an incel or an insellectual? And like they both just started laughing. So like I started using that phrase then later on, where I'm like, you know, like, no, incels who think they're like super smart, I call them intellectuals. You can use that, but you gotta give me credit because I came up with it.
Okay.
My dream.
I'll make sure that it's a copyright then. So
at the end of this episode.
So anyways, folks, until next time, make sure you're good to each other. Be nice. You know, don't be an asshat or an asshole. Or an intellectual. Copyright Matthew Haas, Sesame, Karachi, and Carta. And and until next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Haas. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.